Today, Joe Biden calls for a three-month outdoor mask mandate. Seattle residents want white people to give their homes to black people. What could possibly go wrong there? And the media's incredible acts of journalism this week. We've got a lot coming up, and it starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Today, it's Friday. Happy Friday, first of all. Second of all, it is Friday, which means it's Patents Tuesday.
Yes.
So we're joined by Stuber Gear and Pat Gray.
Yes, both my last show until I leave to campaign for Prather 22.
Yes.
That's going to be out on the campaign trail. But that hasn't started until next week. So,
So he hired you on as campaign staff.
I don't think he's paying me. No. I don't think so.
Okay, that hasn't been negotiated. Okay. All right, we've got a lot coming up. Let's get into the headlines. Joe Biden yesterday called. I just want to, for clarification, there are some people who are saying he is not calling for a national mandate on masks. He is calling for all the governors to step up and all do a mandate. Now, I will say, as you will see in this clip, he does call on the governors to issue mask mandates. However, he has been asked this question before. Do you support or do you see a reason for a national mask mandate? And he has answered yes. So I think it has been proven clear that Joe Biden is for a national mask mandate. However, this time he does go ahead and tell us that we should be wearing masks outside and it should last for 3 months, because as we've seen in this coronavirus pandemic, nothing they tell us will like ever extend. Right. Like 2 weeks to slow the spread didn't turn into our economy being collapsed and all of the states being shut down. So nothing to see here, people. Here is what Joe Biden had to say yesterday.
The protective equipment and testing capacity and the like. But I put out a comprehensive plan over the last 3 months on each of these things. But today I want to talk about one thing, very straightforward. It doesn't have anything to do with Democrats, Republicans, or independents. It has to do with a simple proposition. Every single American should be wearing a mask when they're outside for the next 3 months at a minimum.
All right. Okay.
Every governor should mandate.
Every.
Mandatory mask wearing. The estimates by the experts are it will save over 40,000 lives.
Say it again.
In the next 3 months.
Say it.
40,000 lives. The people act responsibly. And it's not about your rights. Yeah. It's about your responsibilities as an American.
Oh, I see.
It's not about your rights. It's about your responsibilities as an American.
It's a fascinating observation there by Joe. I know of no scientists that are advocating for an outdoor mask ban.
No.
We can all joke about how the scientists have been annoying on some of this stuff, but none of them are saying, like, yeah, you should be wearing masks outside all the time. I literally never even heard anyone say that. You know, there's some speculation that what really happened there is what he meant to say was it was inside, right? The problem when you're Joe Biden is your persona is so in question because you don't know what you're talking about. You can't come back to the media and say, no, what we meant was inside, because, again, it's just another argument about how you're not capable of doing this job. I mean, think of this. If this guy was president, think of what would have happened if he advocated for an outside ban when what he meant was an inside ban. I mean, it's a earth-shattering difference, right? And we don't know if that's what he meant. Maybe he did mean an outside one too. Again, I have not seen anyone point to that as a plausible option.
But can I just interrupt you for 1 second?
Sure.
Isn't it sad, though, that we're at a point where we have to say with anything that Joe Biden comes out and says, we don't know if that's what he meant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, really.
Like, we have no idea if that's what he meant.
We have no idea. He said a word in there that was not a word. I'm almost positive.
Just the one?
It was plebron. If you guys know what plebron means, we can maybe figure out what he was trying to do. It's sad to watch, honestly. Again, this is another moment where he can't even come up with the energy to try to seem like he's with it in these speeches anymore. It's frightening. It's frightening to watch. I mean, there's no chance of 50 governors mandating a mask. It, you know, there's no evidence that
3 months would, at a minimum.
Yeah, and there's no evidence that it would even work.
Like, right. Well, no, he says.
So what happens then?
Here, go ahead.
So he makes it mandatory, right?
Right.
If they don't do what he wants when he's nudging, he'll push you.
Mm-hmm. Which is what he's already come out and said. He said that he thinks that we do need a national mask mandate.
Yeah, and what he makes a compelling case. He goes on to say that the risk of the infection really getting serious, if you're not going to wear a mask, increases exponentially.
Exponentially.
And when that happens, damn it. He's going to say, I told you so. You got this exponential problem now. And I warned you. He's going to tell us that. And I don't want to be there for that. I don't want things increasing exponentially because I don't even know what the hell that means.
It's very
I've heard
scary.
Of exponential, but right. This is a completely different thing. He says it every time. There's no such word as exponential, Joe.
I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, it's agonizing. The guy's agonizing.
Neither candidate in this race can speak the language.
That's true.
There's no ability.
I mean, we apparently have friends in Thailand that we didn't know about. So I don't know about
Thailand, Yosemite. No words are said that are words.
Bicep Town, Thailand. We've got friends all over the body.
To be fair,
look.
If I may.
Go ahead.
Trump seems to just mispronounce words. Joe Biden just makes them up.
Yeah.
He comes across words that I don't think he's ever seen in print before, which is kind of weird. You've never seen Thailand written down? You've never seen, what was the one he just did the other day?
Yosemite was the one that I was thinking of.
Yosemites! Yeah. You've never seen Yosemite? Come on!
You know, and that is
come on.
I mean, and it, you know, George Bush couldn't really speak either.
True.
I mean, really, to give Obama question credit on one thing, he's been the only guy who can actually speak that's been in office since, 2000?
I think that's what got him in office.
Yeah, that was what we were told.
Yeah. He's such an eloquent speaker.
They were just like, oh gosh, no more of that. And now we it has nothing to do with how he governs, obviously. We're going to, I'm sure, get into other things that have gone very well for Trump today. But I mean, that is not his strong suit. It's certainly, but it's a different problem, right? Like where Trump is a little aloof, he's never said he's this giant, well, he has said it, but I mean, no, I don't think anyone believes he's this giant reader where he's going around and getting, like, that's not who the guy is, right? He's an off the cuff guy. We all knew that when he got elected. Biden, on the other hand, just looks like his body's failing.
Yeah.
It's not because he doesn't know the words or he can't, he legitimately doesn't seem like he can get through the multiple syllables.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, I mean, it really is scary coming from him. It looks, we played a clip on Stu Does America the other night from Palin versus Biden in 2008. And it was shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, I played it just for that reason, to show how far he's fallen. But you watch him against Palin, he's pretty sharp. He goes through a long answer where he expresses emotion at the loss of his the near loss of his son in the car accident and his wife who died. He goes through a bunch of accomplishments. Hysterically enough, the ones he lists are, I put tens of thousands of cops on the street and I passed the 1994 crime bill is what he was bragging about in 2000. What a different world we're in now. But again, he seemed like, you know, Joe Biden, he's never going to be my favorite politician, but he seemed competent and coherent. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different person than we're looking at today. And to the level of he's not even able to speak the language in a competent fashion. That is, it's scary. And when he has mental lapses, like you see there with Inside Outside, whether he meant it or not, you're talking about a person who's going to be telling people about what our national policy is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have massive screw-ups like this. Markets move on stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we're going to have that problem in crazy fashion. I've already had enough rocky stuff on that front. It's going to get uglier with Biden.
And might I just add, if that is what he meant, inside instead of outside, he was assuming he meant
the exact opposite of what he said,
but he was staring down at a piece of paper reading from it.
That's a good point.
So I just want to throw that out there.
I'm just assuming it because it's so out of the ordinary. Like, yes, there have been some governors who have said, you know, wear a mask when you're running, which is ridiculous, right? Like, there's no science behind anything like that. You know, we all talked about wearing masks when it comes to the very tightly gathered protests, right? Probably a good idea in that, even though it's outside, probably a good idea to wear a mask there. But to wear a mask outside all the time for 3 months, there's not even there's not even a person guessing that that would be the right thing to do other than Joe Biden. Like, it's not even like the crazy scientists who are really restrictive want you doing that. No one thinks you should be doing that.
Well, there was a city in New Jersey who wants to fine people $250 if they do not wear masks outside. And then, of course, the Department of, I think it was Natural Resources in Wisconsin are the ones who want to ban people, or they get in trouble. The employees get in trouble if they don't wear the masks on the Zoom call. Mm.
That was,
you don't want to be caught in your house breathing your own air.
It could happen.
That would be bad.
You could breathe your own air.
That would be really bad.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Look, there's obviously people who are out of control here, but the point here is that Joe Biden's one of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, there's some random mayor in some random town. That's one thing. This guy wants to be president of the United States, and he's doing things that are, I would argue, crazier than either one of the things you just mentioned. Like, this is actually further than the nutty examples we're bringing up just because they're funny. That's scary. And this guy, you know, could be president of the United States.
You're pretty picky, though. I mean, outside, inside. He got the side part right.
That's true.
And the end. Side, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess, so, yeah, close.
It's not that bad.
All right. New data released by the CDC shows that more than one quarter of young adults in the United States considered suicide in the month of June. Mm. Obviously, we have the coronavirus pandemic happening.
Yeah, well, sorry, go ahead.
No. So the survey was 5,412 adults. The survey was conducted between June 24th to June 30th, and they said 25.5% of those between the ages of 18 and 24 reported having seriously considered suicide in the 30 days before completing the survey.
Wow.
First of all, like, we need to have a better foundation in our life, right?
Yes.
There needs to be something. If you're, look, this sucks. There's nobody's going to tell you it sucks more than I'm going to tell you it sucks. This has been awful for the past few months. But, you know.
I mean, to me, that's what that shows is, A, we need a better foundation. Yeah. And B, the media needs to stop fear mongering on a virus that is not, I mean, 18 to 24 year olds.
It's insanity, right? That's insanity. I mean, and suicide's a complicated one on this, too, because, you could kill yourself, obviously, if you lose your job, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's evidence, mm-hmm. especially long term, if you lose your job and you're out of work for a long time, that you know, the suicide rates go up. There's also evidence that people kill themselves when their spouse of 50 years dies and you can't go visit them in the hospital for the last 2 weeks of their life as they're suffering because of that. You know, like, and those are all intertwined. Some of those would kind of make the point of, like, hey, we've reacted too much. Some of them would say this would really bad. All I know is that's suicide. It doesn't matter, right? Like, it's never the answer, as we would certainly all agree on. And, like, you know, you see this with, like, people. You know, there's a guy who was on Robinhood, this trading app. And he apparently got into options a little bit too much and was down $170 million.
Oh.
Now, you don't want to necessarily, it's not a good trading path.
No.
You don't necessarily want to be down 170.
No.
You know, 100 million you could take, right?
Yeah.
And I think he was like a 17-year-old. Like, it was like a kid. Anyway, I'm laughing, but it's because it's just such a ridiculous story, but he wound up killing himself.
Yeah.
What they say afterward is that actually it was just like the trades hadn't, like, caught up to each other. So he wasn't actually down $170 million. He just didn't understand what he was doing.
Oh,
all that being said, geez. Is there is never a financial reason to go kill yourself. It's never, like, people feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I've been shamed online and I want to kill myself. Mm-hmm. This all comes back, I think, to the larger story of this foundation that we've lost. You know, it's not there. People don't look and say, okay, the rest of the world has gone crazy. What can I count on? And what they come up with is nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And when that happens, you get lots of suicides. And this is going to, I think, you know, it's probably going to increase, coronavirus or not, you know, financial trouble or not. I mean, it's been a problem that we've been talking about on the air for how many years now, where this has been increasing slowly, especially among young people. Their lives get empty. They're on Instagram and all their friends start bullying them and they're killing themselves. Well, what does that mean? Why?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that goes back to just the lack of a foundation, a lack of something they can actually depend on in a tough moment.
Well, and then they turn on the television and not only, what Stu said and lack of foundation, coronavirus news, but it's been the last almost 4 years now that they've just been inundated with negative news reports, whether or not it's the actual truth.
Yeah, and it's not just coronavirus. Climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've got them convinced they've got 10 years to live.
Right.
And then it's an extinction level catastrophe.
Right.
Well, the fear mongering. has to stop, which is why, you know, Stu and I have talked about this guy a bunch of times, but Michael Schellenberger wrote the book Apocalypse Never, because he was sick and tired of the fear-mongering, and it was, he saw that it was hurting kids, like Greta Thunberg, who believes, you know, she's running around the world yelling that the sky is falling because she thinks it is.
Yeah, I mean, Schellenberger said he, you know, he talked to his daughter, who I think is 12, and, you know, she, you know, they've had a long, you know, they've talked this stuff out, and he's like, she's fine, but her friends are terrified of this stuff. Yep. You know, and it's like, well, they you know what? Honestly, a rational person who believes everything that they hear on this front is going to be terrified.
Right.
It would make sense to be terrified unless you really go down the road of looking at this stuff skeptically and trying to come up with your own conclusions. But again, it's never pushing yourself closer and closer to that world is it's a scary place to go, and it's hard to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you get down that road, and how do you convince yourself? It's like, you know, you're a little kid going to bed, and they convinced a monster's under their bed. Mm-hmm. How do they disprove it? Mm-hmm. You know, to them, the monster's always there until the light comes on. So what do you do?
Yeah.
That's not a good idea. But the monster's not there. I've checked multiple times.
Have you?
Yes. The monster's never there. The monster's never freaking there.
It's weird because it's not at my house either.
Really?
Yeah. But my son still uses it as an excuse to climb out of bed and come tell me.
It's a good hiding spot for a monster. So I can understand why.
That's fair. Mm. That's fair. All right. We've got a lot more coming up. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Keeps. If maybe some of you out there, some of you men who are not going to go to the doctor, but you're embarrassed about maybe some hair loss. Maybe your hair is not looking as full as it used to, but you're not going to do anything about it because I say this when you guys are on the show every time.
Sexist.
I am. Mm-hmm. I don't think a woman should be president. Also, men don't go to the doctor. These are two truths you will get from me. If you are one of those men who you're getting a little bit self-conscious about your hair loss, but you're not going to go to the doctor, you can try Keeps from the comfort of your own home. You're going to get the same doctor-recommended FDA-approved hair loss treatment, but it's going to be the generic version, so it's going to save you about half of the cost. Also, you can do it all online. So you take a couple pictures of your hair, you answer a couple questions, and a licensed doctor will review your information and ship your hair loss treatment directly to your door. You don't have to make unnecessary trips to the doctor and the drugstore. You can do it all from home. It's 2020. It's really easy. We got you a special deal to get you started. You can go to keeps.com/Y. That's WHY for 50% off your first order. That is keeps.com/Y. Keeps.com/Y. So, Stu, we were just talking about Joe Biden and the idea of a nationwide mask mandate, and you mentioned that no scientist, like no one has said, we should definitely be wearing masks outdoors.
Yeah, right? I mean,
that's not a thing that we've
especially,
heard.
Especially, you know, in certain circumstances, it could be reasonable. Like we were talking about the protests, for example.
Well, right. But
like,
generally
speaking.
Walking
around outside, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Fauci would agree with you, which is not a surprise. Because
he's my dad.
Yeah, exactly. Joe Biden actually advocating for going farther than Dr. Fauci even thinks that we should do. In fact, he says that schools should be outdoors as much as possible. So take that for what it's worth. Here's what Dr. Fauci had to say.
What we have said in general, and this goes well beyond schools, is that there are about five or six, but for the purpose of schools is five. One is wearing a mask, social distancing to the extent that you can. And if you can't, then make sure you have a mask, avoiding crowded congregation. Outdoors always better than indoors. Good ventilation, if you can keep the windows open, if the weather permits. When you have children outside, try to make sure they don't congregate very closely together. Make them be aware of safe distances. The PPE that you're talking about, those kind of things are pretty simple. If you look in the CDC guidelines for school opening, I think you're right there, at least from what I've seen. You might want to just take another look and make sure that all the things, but I know that your health officials in Rhode Island are keenly aware of that.
He also said, get as much outdoors as you can. If you look at the super spreader events that have occurred, they're almost always inside. And he said that if you want to open schools, do what you need to do. Close the bars, wear your masks, because when you do that, you will bring the infections down. But he notes there, I mean, we should be getting outdoors, open the windows even. So if outdoors was such a scary place, we probably shouldn't be opening the windows.
Right. I mean, outdoors is not a scary place. It was one of the biggest mistakes, I think, of this entire thing, mm-hmm. was that places like California, like New York, New Jersey, they were shutting down beaches. They were shutting down parks. That is the exact stuff. We said this on the air here back in March and April. Open those places up, and not only open them, encourage people and praise people for doing it. When you've got a church service, don't try to ban their church. Say go outside, and when they go outside, make an example of them, right? Like, because the outside transmission seems to be really low. The study he's talking about, I think it was 265 different super spreader events. Only one of them was outside, and it was only to two people.
Yeah,
There is basically no legitimate evidence of this happening. Probably the closest you would have was any effects from the protests, right? Which, you know, is questionable. Some cities show like there was a pop out of those protests. Some don't. The bottom line is
some cities don't ask their
people.
Some don't ask at all.
Right. Yeah. New York, for example, on that one. But I think like that is I think it's good. I think, you know, I don't think, you know, my kid's in school now. Right. Yeah. My kids went back to school.
I'm so
yesterday.
Jealous.
I know. People are very jealous of that one. They're back in school. And, you know, there could be a chance of an outbreak. I think we all realize that going back into it, saying, okay, let's just do the best that we can. We realize there's some risk here. If there was a situation that we, you know, maybe lost control, you talked about school outside. I mean, the more you can do it, the better in a nice weather environment. Like, you couldn't do it now. It's 105 degrees right. out there. But when it's 80 here in Texas for a while and 75 in Texas, it's really nice outside. I don't think it's crazy to do some of that stuff when you can, if it makes sense. It might be a fallback position, too, where you might say, okay, if we're having issues, instead of closing the whole school down, let's do more outside for a while, if it's possible. Obviously, you're going to get the north. It's going to be like negative 20 degrees, mm-hmm. Which you're not going to be able to do it at that point. But I don't. Again, he's my dad, as you point out. But I didn't disagree with anything that he said there. Right? Those are the things that you can do. And when you do those things, you don't need lockdowns.
Right.
You know, only insane people like Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo will put in lockdowns when people are doing those things and you're not having spread. I mean, the fact that there's still these gyms, this poor guy up in New Jersey who keeps kicking his own door down and getting arrested over it. There's almost no community spread in New Jersey right now or in New York. 1,500 gym owners are suing in New York because they can't open their freaking gyms when the governor is on stage bragging about how there's no transmission. Well, if there's no transmission, why can't we open our gyms? You know, this is insanity. And, you know, you're not going to ever stop those people from.
And this week they took away his business license.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The guy in New Jersey.
Unbelievable.
And it does make you wonder, too, Pat, how much longer Fauci will continue to be the left's golden child, because he is saying that schools should reopen, that, you know, hey, maybe you arrange a creative strategy, but schools should be reopened. And he did also just come out and say that the virus should not stop us from voting in person in November. That's not anything that they want to hear. The teachers
unions don't
want to reopen. And certainly the left has taken the stance that we should use this as a reason to not vote in person. So it makes you wonder how much longer he can continue to be their golden boy.
It does.
With that.
And by the way, did anybody else notice the family resemblance between Fauci and his son here? It's uncanny.
I didn't want to embarrass him.
But a little more just gray like hair. Him. I think I might look just like him. it's funny because I think like the Fauci stuff has been on both sides, right? Like he's either Satan or he's literally God. And like, I don't know.
I don't think you're convincing the Trump supporters that anything Fauci says, they should like have any sort of.
And I don't know that the left has ever said anything negative about him.
They think he's Satan.
I know, but I'm saying I don't think. And even if he came over to their side and said something that they do agree with, I don't think that that's.
Oh, I think you're totally right. Like, for example, I think you could go look back at the early days, especially with Fauci, where he was outwardly defending the president over and over and over and over again, and cushioning, you know, the like when people would accuse Trump of not paying attention to something, he'd say, "No, Trump came to me and he said it first." Like he did a lot of that stuff, especially at the beginning. The bottom line is, like, he's just an official, right? And he has no power outside of the power that Trump and the, you know, people just accepting his recommendations give him. It is, I think, you know, he has to this moment, I think, you know, he said a lot of things that are really annoying and too restrictive to me. But also, he says stuff like this. Like, you're right. He's been pushing. He's been on the school thing for a while. And that what was so frustrating about the school part of this is that was their belief. These scientists were saying this before the pandemic started. They said, if this gets ugly, we don't close down schools right away because that's not going to help anybody. Now they've all switched because Trump wants them open.
Yeah.
Not the scientists, but the media.
Yeah.
And, that's just not a healthy way to go through this. It would be better if we just all looked at this and said, okay, here's the information. This is what he believes. Let's take what parts we can do,
mm-hmm.
take others that we don't think are work, and we'll try something else and see how it goes out. That's a sensible way to go through
and
this.
And remember that he's not an economic expert.
Right. It's
we're
not his
supposed
job.
To be letting yeah. everything mm-hmm. he says dictate the entire policy of the United States.
It shouldn't be. No,
yeah.
it should not be.
I do want to go to very quickly, you know, we did talk about Dr. Fauci being your dad.
Yes.
You did point out the family resemblance, mm-hmm. Pat.
Daddy Tony.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that we do have there it is right there.
I mean,
there you go.
Let's see. You're making the same face.
It's uncanny.
Oh, it's a family face. That is.
It's pretty much.
It's almost.
Close. That's how our family photos look.
Yeah.
all of the family photos that you have all over your house.
Yeah.
all right, we've got more coming up, including Seattle rioters screaming at white residents to give up their houses and give them to black people. We'll get into that after the break.
Oh.
Yeah, first we want to thank our sponsor, CLT. If you know any high schoolers or maybe you have one yourself right now, I'm sure that you are very familiar with the SAT and the ACT. These are obviously two of the most powerful forces driving curriculum and instruction in the United States public schools today. Obviously, the College Board, the College Board, a lot of people don't know this, they own the SAT and they are a very far left organization. Last year, the College Board had students reading Bernie Sanders op-eds on the SAT that they had to answer questions on. It's crazy. You know, we talk about the liberal indoctrination in public schools and you don't think about even something as simple as the SAT and the ACT doing that, but it does. But there is an alternative that you need to know about. It is called the Classic Learning Test, or CLT. They've been around for about 4 years and they've already been adopted by more than 200 colleges. And by the way, when all of this coronavirus pandemic mess was going on, SAT and ACT bailed. They canceled. They were like, yeah, we can't do this anymore. Well, CLT can be done all online with remote proctoring. So they didn't have to bail. They still had all of their students taking these tests and using them to get into colleges. It's also shorter than the SAT and the ACT. So that's a sell to your high schooler just in itself. Hey, do you want to take this ACT and SAT really long test, or do you want to take a shorter one and do it online from the comfort of your own home? Sold. The first CLT of the year is August 22nd. The deadline obviously is right around the corner. You have got to sign up and sign up today. You can go to cltexam.com. That is cltexam.com to register now. cltexam.com. An unruly group of Seattle, this says protesters, but they're all rioters at this point. An unruly group of Seattle protesters, we've never seen that before. They converged on a residential neighborhood earlier this week, demanding that white people inside the houses give up their homes to people of color. Here's a little clip of how that went down. Watch.
Your mom's
just swallowed. Let her mom suffer. Let her mom suffer, God. Whichever one it is, give up your house. Give black people back their homes.
Thank you.
Give black people back their homes.
Comfortable as f***. And if any help gentrify this neighborhood.
I used to live in this neighborhood.
You work for Amazon, don't you? Because the majority of people that live in the Central District now work for Amazon because it's an easier commute to downtown for them. Well, guess what? The guy you work for is part of the problem, too.
You made a rational decision on your living quarters because of your commute. Weird chant.
And you were okay with it.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue, either.
We're bringing it to your front door. So the what are you planning to do about it?
The guy in the window is calling the cops.
I don't care.
So I know it was kind of hard to understand at times because that's what happens when you hear people screaming shrilly through a megaphone, which I they don't understand, like, when you use the megaphone, you don't have to scream. That's kind of the entire point of using the megaphone. They said, give black people back their homes. You're sitting there comfortably as if they didn't help gentrify this neighborhood. I used to live in this neighborhood and my family was pushed out, and you're sitting up there having a good time with your other white friends. And then, as Stu pointed out, also, you work for Amazon, don't you? I bet you do, because it's right down the street. Huh.
It's an easy commute.
That's it.
That's actually why I purchased the place.
That's why a lot of people choose their neighborhoods.
I will say, we've talked a lot over the years about home title fraud and home title lock. If they stole the homes of these people in the streets, I would agree with them. Other than that, I'm going to go with no. Usually when you purchase, this gentrification thing has always been a fascinating and a dumb argument, right? It's like, hey, we're going to make the area better by putting up nicer places. What we're going to do is purchase the land from the people who had it before, and then everyone's going to, like, years later, when the neighborhood is nice, come back and complain that they took your neighborhood. Well, your neighborhood was not this neighborhood, right? Yeah. It's the same area. That doesn't mean much, right? And of course,
and they also got paid for their homes.
That's what happens.
Got compensated.
Yeah, they can't just take them.
No, they didn't push them out.
What does that mean, to be pushed out? You mean they sold their home? is that how they got pushed out?
They chose to put their home on the market.
Yeah.
And then accept the offer.
And somebody bought the home, paid the money, and then they moved.
Yeah. That's what pushed out means,
okay.
Pat.
Yeah. All right, I got it.
In the big city translation of this, they always say that people are renting, right? And so they build nice buildings around the building they're in. So you're paying $1,000 a month at a place. They put all these nice towers around you. Then all of a sudden that land's super important, so they're going to knock your tower down, or they're going to raise your rent until you can't afford it. But it's a dumb argument. Overall, it winds up actually helping the communities. They've shown that in study after study after study. And, like, it's not... That's what renting is. Like, renting is an arrangement in which you say, I'm going to live here as long as the landlord basically wants me to live here. If he closes the building down, I don't have rights to it anymore. That's renting. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you want to buy, you have to buy. I know that sucks. I know you want free housing. I know you want free college. I know you want free jobs. But the bottom line is, that's not how the world works.
And they want free homes now.
Yeah.
Move out and give it to a black person. Oh, okay. Should I just leave my stuff?
Is it any black?
Yes, they want your stuff too, Pat.
Do you get to take over the mortgage payments? Because I owe a ton on this house. So if you guys can afford it, I mean, honestly.
No, you can get the payments for us.
Oh, okay.
We're just going to move in right now.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Well, one more very important question on this, Pat. How would you... Okay, so I take it to mean that you don't actually agree with the black people saying white people. Okay, so how do you plan to regentrify a black neighborhood that you obviously are for gentrifying because white people live there now?
I don't plan to.
Oh, you don't?
No, I plan to walk out on my porch with my AR-15 and say, get the hell out of here. Beat it! That's what I plan to do.
Which does bring up an interesting point, because, you know, this whole movement is kind of taking flight in... I saw them in the suburb that I live in, and I'm like, you guys need to be careful. Yes, because now they were at, like, in a shopping center. They weren't in the neighborhood yet.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you move into these neighborhoods in some states.
They're not going to take kindly to it.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
I mean,
start marching through those neighborhoods in the middle of the night with the Texas Castle Rule, and there seriously could be trouble. It would be, that's not a good idea.
And sometimes I think, okay, well, maybe that's what they need for them to realize the stupidity of what they're doing. But then part of me is like, no, because then the mainstream media will create the narrative that, like, it was the homeowner
they will.
Who created the...
They'd crucify anybody.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who are...
And then they're martyrs.
You may have taken some information from the guy criticizing the commute for the Amazon worker that he might not have all of the details on all of these stories. He may not be fully informed.
Please.
But the organizers of these things do want that to happen. And their best case scenario is a violent altercation between suburb and protester, because you're right, the media will spin it as, no matter what happens, they'll say the protesters were in the right no matter what.
Well, look at what they did in St. Louis. They did exactly that.
And then they will also, I mean, but, like, God forbid there was actual violence between that couple and these people. Look at the way they treated it. And they will also use that as a rallying cry to grow the movement.
Yeah.
And the media will play along with it. You know, none of this is good.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, the mainstream media, speaking of them, the mainstream media's incredible acts of journalism this week. Back in a minute.
That's good. At least we're ending with some good news.
Oh, yeah.
Journalism, it's hard. It's a hard business. But
they make
it
look so easy. Mainstream media is just so good. So good all the time at giving us unbiased, objective coverage of what is going on in the country, specifically with President Trump. So I just felt like we should take a moment to just highlight how good they really are. I mean, we talk about doctors and nurses being heroes, but I really feel like the mainstream journalists are really the true heroes of this country. Specifically, Mika Brzezinski this morning on Morning Joe. You can go to my Twitter. I tweeted out a clip. We can't play it all here, but there's like a 3.5 minute clip of Mika Brzezinski doing what I would call melting down over how awful President Trump is. No actual facts, as it turns out, in the meltdown, but lots of just like shrill antics. And here's just a little bit of that.
If we don't find a way to hold this president accountable with his attempts to undermine the post office and also his apparent negligence, perhaps purposeful, on saving the American people's lives in this pandemic. You are pathetic at this point with his calamitous coronavirus leadership. It's killing Americans every day. He could be keeping people alive. He's choosing not to.
Huh.
He is. I cannot believe President Trump. He obviously is choosing not to keep people alive.
Yeah, but the real issue is what he's doing to the post office. I am pissed off about that.
Finally.
Aren't you, Stu?
Somebody said it.
Finally, it was said. The undermining of the post office. How many times have we?
Show after show about it back in the day.
Who, by the way, is so dependable.
They're so dependable.
Yeah. They're not a money suck. They use the money that we give them as taxpayers very efficiently.
They only lose $4 billion a year. That's not bad.
Not bad at all
for the job they do.
Really good deal.
You know?
It's only like maybe 50% of my mail that I don't get on time or at all.
Really?
So that's really good.
Yeah. I'm more pissed off about what he's doing to the Parks and Recreation Department in this country.
Don't even get me started on that.
There's not nearly enough adult softball leagues in this nation right now.
You're right.
This team will not step up. The post office thing obviously has to do with the mail-in voting.
Yeah.
Come on. First of all, he just put in a guy that is saying we're going to have no problem dealing with this. Like, Trump is trying to build up this thing about how, like, they're not going to be able to handle this. They need all this extra money. But the guy in charge is saying, we want the extra money, but we're actually fine. And it's Trump's handpicked guy.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they deal with Christmas every year. They can't deal with some ballots. I think they're going to be fine.
And by the way, for those of you, I urge you to go watch the full clip, because there's a point where she says, like, you know what? I'm not going to Fifth Avenue. I wouldn't be caught at all on Fifth Avenue in New York because, you know, Trump said that like he could shoot someone.
Oh, my God.
So no. I don't. It could be. She doesn't say that. Yeah. And she doesn't go so far as to say this. But the insinuation is like, it could be me. I don't know. I'm not going to go to Fifth Avenue and find out. So
they were such close friends for so long.
Yeah.
Right? Now, all of a sudden, he's the worst person in the universe.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Was he a different man back in the day? Was he different? I don't think he was different.
I don't think he was different when rappers were rapping about him either. But she was not the only one. We've got to give an honorable mention to SV. Did you say date? I don't know how to say it. But of HuffPo, you can tell he had waited a really long time to get this question in, question to President Trump.
He nails him here.
He does. I think he's got him. He's got him here. Watch.
Yeah. President, after 3.5 years, do you regret it all? All the lying you've done to the American people. All the lying, all the dishonesties.
That who has done?
You have done. Tens of thousands.
Go ahead, please. Please. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask about the payroll tax.
Poor guy after. I
don't want to talk about your lies. But I did want to ask about the payroll tax.
I want to ask about the payroll tax, too, because he said... He's eliminating it, and I want him to stick to that. Yeah, I would love that. Wouldn't that be great?
That's one of my jihads in life. That would save us a fortune. It is definitely one of the. It's the worst tax in my.
It is by far.
But I mean, like you just love this guy, like coming up with this big moment that he's built up in his head. I'm going to say the president's a liar right to his face. Great. Trump handles that great.
He does it. I cannot believe the restraint he showed.
Oh yeah, that's a great.
I can't believe it.
That's awesome.
This guy wanted a fight to turn himself into a star, and what he got was nothing. Trump gave him zilch. He moved on to the next person and ignored him like he should be. Mm-hmm. He should be ignored. Trump handled that really, really well. Dumb question from a guy just trying to be a celebrity.
And he was so proud of it. He went on Twitter immediately. I've been waiting 5 years to ask that question.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
That's weird because he said 3.5 years. So what was he doing for the year first?
I don't know.
He was waiting for the time to start in which he would begin lying? What was the... Interesting.
So here's a question then. Do you think that Trump knew what he said the first time when he asked him to, like, he kind of had him repeat it?
Yeah.
Do you think he genuinely didn't hear him, or was he trying to, like, that was the sly point that he was going to make and make him repeat himself and then move on?
Yeah, because it really wrecked the whole rhythm of it.
Yeah.
Who? So it's brilliant if he did.
Yeah, I know. I can't decide if I think,
I want to just believe that because I think it would be better.
I like that better.
Part of me thinks, though, it was also that usually these guys, they're always asking him questions like that. You know, they're very tilted questions, but they try to hide it within a legitimate point or a legitimate issue. This was just so blatantly terrible.
There was no context.
What do you mean? Lying about what are you talking? Like, he wanted that interaction and Trump didn't give it to him.
Because if he's waiting 5 years, you would think that he'd come up with a better intro to his question than just launching right into the question. You've had 5 years for your moment.
He's like, I'm just going to be blunt. I'm just going to say what everyone's thinking. You know, like he had this big scenario where the Trump said, I resign. I think that's what he was hoping for. Didn't wind up getting that moment, unfortunately.
No, he did not. All right, back in a minute.
And then you have Mike Pence as president, who I'm sure they'd love. Because they would be right on
more conservative.
Yesterday's poll, is Kamala Harris a radical? Almost 95% of you said yes, and 5% of you said no.
What?
So
she's a moderate.
She's pragmatic.
She's
I know that.
Pragmatic and a moderate.
Pragmatic.
Actually, I read a small c conservative.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Get out of here. Seriously?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I forget the outlet.
That's great.
I read it. It was on Twitter. And it was a media outlet that said, small C conservative.
In the actual ratings of how she's legislated, she is the most liberal senator of 2019.
Wow.
The most liberal senator of 2019.
I mean, and there's a bunch of conservative measures, and she shows up badly on all of them.
Yeah,
I saw, she was second to Warren. There's some, I think her conservative review score is 20%.
Well, and I feel like usually when you talk about repealing the Second Amendment, you're pretty moderate.
Yeah, usually pretty moderate.
It's a good barometer to have. All right, today's poll question. Do you have hope for America's future? Yes or no? I don't, now that I was listening to what was going to be on Stu Does America tonight.
Oh, yeah. Did I do this on the air or were you off the air? I can't even remember.
No, we're off the air.
Okay, yeah, so there's a guy who did a prediction model of 13 keys to the White House. He's corrected every single election correctly since 1980 or 84. Predicted Trump in 2016. He's currently predicting Biden, but I'm going to go through step by step because I think he has his own model wrong.
So there is hope.
I think he actually has his own model wrong on this one, and I'm going to explain why on So Does America tonight. 8 o'clock, Blaze TV.
It's not often that we can look to Stu for some optimism.
I know.
He's turned that around for me.
Black rain cloud.
I know.
You just totally turned it around for me.
We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the great accomplishment of the Trump administration in Israel with this Middle East deal.
Nice.
Which is fantastic. I mean, it's just nothing but rainbows and unicorns today on the show.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, that'll be the first optimistic show for Stu Does America. So you'll need to tune in.
Turn out a new format for the show.
Thanks for listening to the news and why it matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.